This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Yellowstoners, a podcast dedicated to getting high on drama, digging into the Duttons and everything Yellowstone, hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and editor-in-chief of the playlist, Rodrigo Perez. Today we have episodes 4 and 5 of Yellowstone season 5 to discuss and all of the spoilery details that go along with it. So spoiler warning, spoiler warning, spoiler warning. Afterwards, we have an interview with actor Gil Birmingham, who plays Thomas Rainwater on the show. But before we jump into all that, I've got to tell you that Yellowstoners is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, The Discourse, Deep Focus, The Rogue Ones, The Fourth Wall, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Playlist Podcast Network to get this show and all of those that I just mentioned. Also, drop us a rating or a comment, as we always appreciate it. Okay, episode 4, entitled Horses in Heaven, finds John continuing to stir up shit at the governor's office by firing his entire group of advisors. Fish and Wildlife barges in and lets him in on the wolf thing that's going on. They kind of let him off the hook, but they say that there's going to be this NGO that's going to drop the hammer on him, so we'll see what happens there. Then, you know, the main crux of the show, at least for me, was the Jamie and Beth of it all. Jamie gets to play the hero by coming in to Beth's rescue after her big bar fight. And then he has to give her a ride home, which opens up this whole can of worms. And I just want to just start right there, because that sequence with him and Beth, yeah, it's really well done. It's really intense. It almost felt like Jamie was going to kill her for a minute there. What did you think of just the Jamie and Beth stuff in that episode 4?
I like Beth, and I like a lot of that stuff. But her relentlessly hating of her brother is sometimes a bit much for me.
And really?
She obviously blames him for all this stuff, but he was just a dumb kid. He didn't know anything. Like, she still treats it like it's yesterday. And I know it's not something like to treat lightly.
No, not at all.
But I don't know. Like, I know she was like, she feels like robbed and destroyed of her agency in that regard. But I don't know. He was just a kid. He had no clue, you know?
Yeah.
He was just kind of trying to do the, wasn't, I don't want to be unempathetic. Did he not like at the time, it was many years ago when we learned this, but yeah, like had very little understanding other than like, didn't he have good intentions? Like, I'm like, my sister got pregnant. If my father finds out, he's going to freak out. It's going to ruin our family.
Right. So he had to take her to the reservation.
I want to help her get an abortion. That's all it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think, didn't they warn him like outside of the thing, like what was going to happen if she went in, and he said, yeah, do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
I still feel like at the time he was like, what, 15 years old. This was probably the 1980s. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't have any kind of like clue what that really means, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things you can write off to, yeah, they were young and he was 15, but you got to understand, at least from her standpoint, what that took from her. But yeah, every time it's brought up, it's like she's right back there in that moment, almost like she was that scarred by it.
She can't even thank him for, like, you know, getting her out of jail, whatever it is. she will never give him the slightest bit of anything. And I don't know, it sometimes gets a little much for me. Like, find myself having a little bit more empathy for Jamie because he's just so brutally abused by her, you know?
Yeah, there's no one on the family that's on his side anymore. John for a long time was, but he is not anymore. And really, it's just Beth berating Jamie every chance she gets, treating him like garbage. And yeah, it's rough. But the Beth of it all, like her this season, it feels like more and more with each episode that goes on in episode 4 and especially in episode 5 that she's this alcoholic on the very, very razor's edge, you know, like she's about to tip into something that could be very bad. So I could see things going really poorly for Beth for a while here, but for right now, she's just getting to stir some shit in this season.
I'm waiting for her in the showdown with Dawn. That seems interesting to me. Dawn Olivieri.
Oh, you mean Sarah?
Sarah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, she's the anti-Beth.
Right. That ends up sleeping with Jamie in this episode.
Yes, which is like...
How dumb can you be, Jamie? How dumb can you be?
Yeah, like really. Which that certainly gave me less empathy for Jamie because like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, literal sleeping with the enemy. So yeah, I mean, that's still to me the most intriguing part of it all is the Beth, Sarah, Jamie part of it. Although it's just getting a little soap opera-y, you know, okay. Which the show tends to do sometimes. In some ways, that's generally... Most of the time it's forgivable and entertaining because it's entertaining, you know, but it's getting borderline to the point where I'm like, oh boy, what's going on here? So I have like sort of kind of like some mixed feelings about the season so far, because that's the storyline that interests me the most, but it's sort of losing its way. I am also interested in just the ways John Dutton, he almost reminds me of like Elon Musk, like firing his entire, you know, Twitter staff to like do it small scale. I can just do it myself. You know, there's this kind of like dictatorial kind of aspect to it, you know?
Yeah. There's the whole cowboy, my way or the highway kind of thing. And
yeah. And I'm kind of hoping that,
it bites him in the ass.
Yeah. I really want to see it kind of go south and him sort of like, cause we see these people like generally succeed so much, you know, and they don't get that many obstacles. Like even Beth, like, you know, like the whole, like the setup was like, oh, she's been fucking in prison. She knocked that person out. If this happens, like they're very often not in peril for very long. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
And I would like to see some peril, especially of their own making, I think would be really interesting, especially someone for John who's so, you know, sure of himself and such like, you know, he's got such an ego and he does things his way. It would be really interesting, I think, to see his way go wrong and realizing that, like, this is something that can't be played in the way he likes to play it. And he has one way of playing everything, right?
Yeah.
So
he's the boss. That's it.
I mean, if anything of that kind of guy, if he would ever meet any kind of immovable object, would you not think it would be the complexities of politics that might trip him up, you know?
For sure. Yeah, I've been waiting for something like that to happen. But so far, John has just been having his way with the governor's office. But there's plenty of time for him to mess things up. He's only just getting started.
Yeah, and I think this season, hopefully, I would love to see, like, you know, Beth take on Sarah and Sarah kind of win. Like I feel like a lot of their big hubris, their egos, their arrogance is kind of their Achilles heel. And it would be an interesting, like, dramatic thing for this show for them to weaponize that against them and see it like create consequences, you know, or like problems of their own making that they now have to like sort of like rethink and try and like dig themselves out of those holes, you know?
One of the things that these, not only this show, but also the spinoffs have made clear is that this family is kind of doomed each iteration. And there's going to come a point where John just can't do what he's doing anymore and he's going to lose. And I think a lot of times they're checking that in this series. You know, I think that's actually in episode 5, which we're going to discuss anyway. So there's a moment where Beth just says they're going to take the land. Like, you know, it's going to happen. And he just kind of sits there in it. He's not fighting it necessarily. He knows it's going to happen too.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, we're in season 5 now. This has been going on for a while. If you're not going to like really kill people, I think putting characters in serious peril that like lasts longer than one season, I think would be really wise and would help sort of shake things up. I mean, you know, drama is challenging your characters, right? And putting them in bad situations that they have to work their way out of, especially in a series where it's like you kind of have to just keep doing that over and over again, right? So
For sure.
I feel like they're kind of due. And I would really like to see something like that.
Yeah, one thing I didn't expect to see in this episode is just the summer of it all. Piper Perabo coming
Right.
back
Yeah.
and John basically, you know, commuting her sentence and having her under house arrest at her at his house. That has certainly made things interesting at the Dutton Ranch, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
it'll certainly cause some fun friction between her and Beth, which has already started.
Right. So that's, yeah, that starts in episode four where he gets her out of jail. Before we do move on to episode five, which is a lot of fun, I do want to at least address, you know, the burial of baby John, which actually had some really nice moments in it. First of all, Casey and Monica don't even invite the Dutton side of the family. They just kind of keep it small and it seems kind of keep to the reservation side of things. Yeah, that's an interesting scene, but even then, you know, John stumbles across it. He does get to kind of make his peace with Monica, with, you know, the boy lived a perfect life. All he knew was you and that you loved him, that kind of stuff. And I think that really helped their relationship and her, you know, in the grieving process. But there were a lot of good little moments like that, within that little scene. What
Yeah,
did you
I agree that the show knows how to be, for all its faults at times, it really knows how to take a moment and be quiet and soulful and gently melancholy with it at times, and I think it really works.
Yeah, there's a couple of those moments in episode four and even episode five, which we should just get into because this is really the Beth and Summerfest is what episode five is. The episode's titled Watch 'Em Ride Away. The whole family converges on the ranch for like this annual gathering and branding of cattle. So there's this big lead up to that, and everyone's kind of preparing for that. But really, the tornado of Summer and Beth was kind of the centerpiece of it within this family dinner that John, you know, he makes Beth sit down at the table again against his better judgment. And Summer and Beth just have it out, which ends up in this giant fight. How did you feel about the big fight between Summer and Beth?
I mean, you know, it's amusing. You know, it borders on it's amusing and entertaining and maybe a little bit much, you know? I think that's kind of where I am with a lot of it at the moment. It's a bit much, but it's also entertaining.
Oh yeah. I mean, basically Beth is a bit much this whole season. She's just on edge. And, you know, that kind of comes to a point between her and Summer, but there are some kind of sweet moments that come out of it once they finally, you know, get it all out and just beat each other. I love the point in the fight, you know, they're rolling around and just beating the crap out of each other. Rip comes out and just suggests that they just stand here and trade them until one of you has had enough. And that was great stuff. But they finally concede, or Summer concedes. They make peace, and it kind of results in this thing you never thought you'd get to see. And I'm pretty sure you'd probably notice this. They actually eat breakfast in peace in the dining room. Did you notice that there was a meal that happened
Yeah,
where
well, the
Beth didn't
first,
stir shit?
right. Well, they kind of learned their lesson a little bit, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you didn't think you'd get to see in this episode. There's also like, I mean, so many Beth one-liners in this episode. I don't know how many you clocked, but Beth calling Summer a hairy hippie giving syphilis to the sofa, or, you know, that hippie must be able to suck a marble through a soda straw. There were so many that I was just like, oh my God, Beth being Beth, this whole episode was just great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's got some great lines, right?
Of
All
course.
the time.
Of course. But also there's that telling scene between John and Rip after the fight where he says something to the effect of, I've got one child I miss, one child I pity, one I regret, and that girl, meaning Beth, I envy. That kind of lays things out for you pretty honestly, doesn't it? As far as where everybody stands with him. I think there was maybe some people who thought he was holding out hope for Jamie, but him being the one he regrets is pretty telling.
That's pretty hard. I mean, that's pretty harsh too. Like, I don't know. Jamie's gotten such a kind of raw deal. I feel like I would love to actually see him because everyone's so fucked up and arrogant and so like, other than, you know, Casey, who's kind of just doing his own thing, but the rest of the children are all just like kind of a mess, you know? in one way or another. And he's sort of just like got his, he's had his like sort of, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would say he's basically had his tail between his legs for a long time now, right?
Yeah, and even more so this season. He's just
yes,
broken.
I mean, because of obviously the events of last season, they really, really have him like tail between his legs. So I don't know. I think maybe it's also a testament to Wes Bentley, who I kind of really like. I mean,
yeah,
I found
he's great.
I found myself really empathizing with him and his plight throughout his whole identity, his whole struggle that he's had. He's messed up for sure. He's done some stupid, awful things, but I would like to see some, you know, here's what would be really interesting is that like Beth screws up everything and Jamie actually saves the day at the end of this season or the end of next season with the big market equities thing and them having to like reckon with that, which would not be easy for them because they're so used to him being like the fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
That would sort of upend that. But at the same time, the way the writing's going, it's just looking like he's just like going to screw up again.
That he's either going to screw up again or he's going to become the person that takes them down. You know, they treat him like so much shit that he's just going to turn and just
turn. Yeah. Again, yeah. Again, though, like, would he really?
I mean, it's obvious that he's open to any kind of affection that will come his way. So I don't know how hard it'll be to turn him. It seems like he's easily manipulated.
Yeah, for sure.
And Sarah has definitely clocked that.
For sure. And they see him as the Achilles heel of the family and they're going after it. And it's only going to get worse.
I have a feeling this big cattle gathering and branding event might not go so well. Do you have that feeling?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, right?
I mean, first of all, Beth on that trip just sounds like a shit show. Rip pretty much laid it out for her. Why she's going to hate it, and yet she's going anyway, but she's there. So yeah, and so are like Carter and all the kids, basically everybody's there. So it just feels like something is about to happen that maybe people aren't seeing coming.
Yeah. I'm not really sure where things are headed exactly, but it definitely looks like, you know, Jamie's gonna really screw this up and it's gonna have consequences for everybody
for sure. I think we pretty much covered everything. So as a reminder, Yellowstone Season 5 airs on Paramount Network every Sunday, and we'll be back most weeks with recaps and special interviews with people on the show. Right now, we're going to head on over to my interview with Gil Birmingham, who plays Thomas Rainwater. He gave me the lowdown on how he basically came to the Yellowstone series in the first place. We talk about his relationship to Taylor Sheridan and Indigenous representation in recent years on TV. And yeah, it was a really good conversation. I only got a quick like 10 minutes with him, but it was really awesome to speak with him. Let's get right to that. For Rodrigo and myself, don't mess with Beth, you hippie, and keep on Yellowstone. Gil, how the heck are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm a huge Yellowstone fan, big Gil Birmingham fan in general. So this is a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. So let's go back to the beginning here, because when the first season came around, you'd already worked with Taylor Sheridan a few times. How did the relationship start between you? Was it as simple as just meeting on set?
Basically, yeah. I hadn't met Taylor personally until we filmed Hell or High Water.
Right.
And then he was just a writer on that project, and he did a little small part in it as well. But I guess he liked my work, and then he approached me for Wind River the year after that.
Great film.
But he mentioned Yellowstone back in 2016 when we were filming Hell or High Water. And he said, I've got this series that I've written, and I've written a part for you. And, at that point, I just thought he was an incredible writer. And I said, I'm spoiled with your writing. That if you got a series and you want me in it, I'm there.
Yeah. So is that as simple as that for you when it comes to Taylor's work? If he says, I got something, you're just like, in, that's it. I'm good.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's such a, you know, I have so much respect for him, and I've gotten to know him personally and the family and over the years. And it's just a wonderful relationship to have found and develop and hope to maintain, you know, for on and on.
Yeah. So your relationship, like I said, yeah, like you said, has gone all the way back those to those years. How has it changed, you know, up to now? Do you guys feel a lot more comfortable with one another, or is he just so busy at this point that you're like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually probably more in touch with his family because he's so darn busy. And just watching him increasingly get busier and busier, it seems we see him less and less. But, what a phenomenal trajectory for his career.
Yeah, it's been an amazing body of work that he's started to put together here, many of which feature you. So Thomas Rainwater, crafting that character, was he already pretty much there on the page? Was there anything that you maybe suggested to Taylor to change him?
You know, I mean, his writing is so meticulous that you really don't want to change anything, but he's completely open to a collaborative experience with us. Anything that we have that we want to inject and suggest, he's completely open to it. And of course, they can fix it in editing if he doesn't like it. But he sets up, he directed the first two seasons, and then he brought in some different directors subsequent seasons. So there was a much more intimate kind of interaction for the cast and with Taylor. And now we've had to kind of stand on our own two feet a little more, but I think we've been embedded with the nature of the characters strong enough now.
Yeah, they only get more and more rich. And your character has always been in opposition to John Dutton and his family, but never feels like a villain. You know, he's his own guy. He's got his own interests, his own motivations, his own emotions. Is that something that was just immediately there in the writing again? Or is that just like, you know, a matter of being able to spend this much time with that character? You think TV kind of lends itself to that?
Yeah, I can still remember the first season. It was very adversarial, you know, the nature of the relationship. You know, him having me arrested, us playing the chess game of, you know, the possession of the cows, and really kind of feeling each other out in terms of what kind of leaders we were going to be. So there was a real power struggle there. And I think it's, you know, the shift became one where they understood the respect that they had for the same thing, and that would be land. So that was huge. So when Rainwater decided or felt that the best strategy was to maybe hopefully build an alliance together with the other capitalist forces that were trying to come in and take the land over, then we could have our battle separately, but it was going to be for the same reason of preserving and stewarding that land.
Yeah, that respect is very clear between, you know, Thomas and John's character. In this season, you know, he's understandably apprehensive about John's governorship. Obviously, his interests are different from John's interests, just his business and all that. His community and his colleagues are upset with him, you know, for letting it get this far. What can you tease about Thomas's journey, you know, in this upcoming season here?
I think Thomas is going to feel, you know, more vulnerable than he has in the past seasons, because there was an assumption that they had an alliance that was going to benefit both of them, and that structure had been built, you know, up in season four. But, you know, Thomas understands the importance of developing any alliance that he can make to meet his objectives, and so he also aligned with Market Equities to facilitate his objective at a more accelerated rate. And it wasn't in direct opposition with John at the time, but now John's gotten a position of leverage and power to do policy making primarily for his own benefit. I mean, that's all he really cares about. So that's going to put Rainwater in a difficult position of not knowing how to strategize around that and how to maneuver through it without knowing exactly what the ramifications of his political decisions become.
It's very interesting just because it even seems like he's got people, you know, in his business that are upset with him, and his, you know, on his side that are upset with him. So it's just like walls are closing in for Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be some internal conflict too. So he's going to be on edge.
I also want to shout out Bill Taba from Under the Banner of Heaven, your character. I interviewed Dustin Lance Black, and he's so, like, in that show, it's so dark at points, but yours is kind of like this beacon of light in the darkness. He's very much interested in taking the piss out of Andrew Garfield's character at most times. How was your experience working on that show with Andrew and Dustin?
It was extraordinary. I mean, I it's funny how these projects will come to you, and based on your own personal journey, you know, I grew up with a very dogmatic religious upbringing. So I related to the nature of you know, the Mormon institution being very similar. And I had issues with it, as Bill Taba did. And I said, I know this guy. And, you know, I met with Lance for about an hour, and he said, yeah, you're my guy. And it was just brilliantly written, too. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, he's been a great writer for since the earlier part of his career, too. But, yeah, that was a real intense shoot. Boy, we went to some dark subject matter there.
There is some dark, dark stuff. But there's also you playing with, you know, Andrew with the cheeseburger stuff. That was hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. Love that show. How are you feeling personally about the current state of TV with stuff like, you know, the stuff that Dustin is putting out, the stuff that Taylor's putting out? There's also a lot of programs featuring Indigenous leads these days. Have you been watching any of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just so excited that we've gotten to a place that we haven't been in since, like, Dances with Wolves, you know, a respectful portrayal of the Native American community. And more importantly, that it's contemporary. You know, you'd be shocked to know that the majority of people don't even think Native Americans still exist, you know. So to be able to tell their own stories as the writers and the producers and the directors, you know, gives it a level of inherent experience that no other writer or artist could bring to it. And people are really coming to appreciate and be exposed to a realistic and authentic portrayal of the Native community.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Reservation Dogs and Dark Winds and all those things that are coming out. Any interest in doing either of those?
Sure. Sure. I think they're great. Well, I had worked with Sterling Harjo. A lot of people don't know this because the show had a destiny of its own, but I had worked with Sterling Harjo, who's one of the producers of Reservation Dogs. And we actually had, at that moment in time, this was right before Yellowstone, and we did a DC graphic novel book called Scalped, and it was all Indigenous cast. So we thought we were going to be groundbreaking then. And then the networks made, you know, some purchases of each other, and they dropped all their dramas. But I guess the industry wasn't ready for it just yet, but they sure are now.
Hopefully that sees the light of day. Either way, they're giving me the wrap. I wanted to say it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Looking forward to season 5 of Yellowstone and just your career beyond that. Thank you again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.